skeptical to me tonight, who is not subject to that vague human desire to get everything for nothing. Whatever it might be, just anything free. It's exciting. You know what the newest chain letter is? Booze. That's right. Send one bottle of bourbon to the... That's right, serious. And then at the end of the month, you should receive over 4,922 cases of scotch by mail. This is the truth. Now, I don't know whether anybody's doing it, but I've heard that this is so. You know, this is a chain letter, and I've had my experience with chain letters. My mother was a chain letter cuckoo. You ever know anybody that actually got the 18,000 so-and-sos? Well, I'm going to tell you a story. Give me a little of that music there. This is a sickening story, and it may be a lesson to you all. All good stories should contain a lesson. I mean, who knows what the lesson is, but it should contain a lesson. I was maybe 11. And my old man kept coming home, you know, with these chain letters where you send in a dollar or a dime. He never got nothing back. And it was, you know, one of those things. My mother used to say, oh, come on, are you going to actually send a dollar to those? Look, it says Chester W. Wisniewski on the bottom. You know, why are you going to send him a dollar? Who's he, you know? What, you know? The old man says, well, you never know. There's always rumors about guys that hit it big with the chain letter until the time my old lady fell for it. She got this chain letter, and it arrived, you know, just like they all do, just unannounced in the mail. And the chain letter, this is still a hush-hush subject in our family. You don't talk much about it because it was such an embarrassing thing. And not only embarrassing, it had, you know, one of these things that has a sort of a grotesque atmosphere around it. Certain grotesques in your family one does not speak of. In fact, it was so unreal at the time that... You know, I also think that unreal things that happen to us, that are genuinely unreal, we don't talk much about after it's over. Because it's hard to remember them. And because they're so far out of the norm. Well, one night, the pile of mail, we used to have a dining room table, you know, where the mail was... Every night, my mother would put my old man's mail on the dining room table, and he'd come running in, you know, and he'd take one look at that pile of bills, you know, and he'd get sick and run into the jot and yell and slam the door and come out again. And there they are, see. Oh, I remember he had a running battle, the garage, and a running battle with this garage where he had his transmission fixed once, and he claimed he paid him. And every month would arrive this bill for 1874. I remember the figure. He'd take this bill out, and every month, he says, 18, call him up. And he'd get on the phone, and he'd says, hello, Paswinski? He says, yeah. I paid that bill. And he'd be, wah, 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 wah. What do you mean? I got the canceled check. Wah, 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 wah. Well, I'm not going to pay it. Forget it, and don't send no more bills. If you want it, you can sue me. I got the check. Wah, 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 click. 1 month later, the old man always comes. You never know, you know, somehow you forget the date. I hardly ever know the date. I had a family that didn't know what date it was from 1 year to the next, you know. And the first of the month sneaks up quick. And you don't even know it's the first. The old man would come in singing and yelling, you know, he hit the door. I'm home, gang! Whoa! And I'd slam the door open in the kitchen yelling. And he was the kind, you know, that come running in. And instantly as he's coming in, he takes his coat off, his shirt off, his pants off as he runs. By the time he hits the john, he's in his BVDs. Yeah, it's the first thing. His symbol of freedom was to throw his clothes off. So he's running, throwing the clothes off. Oh, boy, what's for supper? Oh, meatloaf, wow! He's running to the john, and then he gets a sight of the mail. And on the top of it is this blue letter with a glass envelope on the front. You know, the little glassy thing, that means bill. Paswinski. That same 1874 bill. He'd slam the door in the john. You'd hear a lot of yelling in the john and water going up and down and stuff. Slam the door open again. He's Paswinski! He'd rip the thing open. Paswinski, I paid that bill! Well, this was a thing. I think it was a kind of a fugue that he and the old garage had going. You know, it was a ritual after a while. And so he never paid it. They never stopped sending the bills. And as far as I know, my mother was still getting that bill the first of the month. The old man's been gone for loadies many centuries. She's probably still getting the bill, and Paswinski's gone. The whole thing, it's just going on. See? So one day, he's sitting there ripping an open a mail, and he's bugged. He used to get junk mail. He loved junk mail. The junk mail, you know, that would start out with this single line, occupant. He was occupant, all right. Say, occupant, do you need $300? Without signing your signature, without getting co-signers, we will... He'd say, how did they know? How did they know he needed $300 all of his life? They didn't even know his name. He was occupant, but they knew he needed $300, you know? He'd sit there, and there's always a traumatic time when he's reading the mail, and you never said anything around the house when he was reading the mail, because he'd be yelling and hollering, and he'd run to the phone and call somebody else up, and the whole bit. But one day, he's looking through the mail, and he says, what the hell is this? This is a letter for you. Well, my mother rarely got mail. You know, she once in a while got a letter from my Aunt Glenn. That's about it, see. He says, what's this? This is for you. And she takes it and looks at it. She's hanging over the sink. And there it is, a typewritten letter addressed to my mother. Very official. See? Just a blank white envelope. Didn't have any letterhead like a Weebolt's department store white sale or anything like that. Just her name. She opens it up. And she takes out this sheet of paper and she's reading it. She says, huh, listen to this. Do not break the chain of good luck. Send one wash rag to the name at the bottom of the list. The lady who breaks this chain will have bad luck forever. One woman in New Orleans, Louisiana, received over 23,000 wash rags by return mail. And then send 10 letters to friends of yours, exact copies of this letter. It's in the kitchen. Well, if there's one thing we had wash rags. Where do we get wash rags? Well, we got wash rags in Gold Dust soap. You know those Gold Dust Twins things? Well, they used to give away wash rags. Well, I don't know what the soap was like, but they had wash rags you could see through. So you get these wash rags. And so the old man says, he says, you're not going to fall for that, are you? Because wash rags didn't interest him. Dollar bills did. So every time he got one of these things, he'd send out a dollar bill, you know. But wash rags, forget it. And he'd say, you're not going to fall for that, are you? I said, well, it's just a wash rag. You know, he says, come on. You're not going to fall for that, are you? For crying out, this is a racket. There's some outfit that collects wash rags. They probably sell them down at Weebolt's. And he says, well, you know, gee, it'd be kind of fun, you know. You never know. That is the truest expression ever used by human tongue. You never know. Now, I say you never know about anything. A lot of people think they know about a lot of things, but there are some things they don't know about. It is my premise, you never know about anything. There are vague surmises. There are multiple guesses. There are suspicions. There are even blind beliefs. But as far as knowing something, I don't even know whether 2 + 2 does make 4. Well, really, there's certain mathematical formulae that'll say, no, this is not necessarily so. And that's another good expression to use. It ain't necessarily so. Okay? So my mother's hanging over the sink, and she says, you never know. It was, oh, come on. Don't, you always yell at me when I send in a dollar bill. These things never work. So I've sent in like 27 chain letters. Nothing's ever come back, right? She says, yes, that's true. Well, you're the first one to tell me they didn't work. She says, yes, they don't work. But, you know, you never know. I said, what do you mean? That's what I keep saying, you never know. And every time I say it, you tell me I'm a nut. Now, either you never know or you don't, huh? What is it? What do you believe in? You never know or do you know? Which is it? Well, that's, of course, one of those rhetorical arguments. That's the kind of thing, by the way, that snowballs into a 3-week fight in any house. And as a kid, you know, me and my kid brother, we're sitting at the supper table and all this is going on. We slowly sink down in a chair because we've been involved in that kind of thing before, you know, and eventually my mother doesn't talk to my old man for 2.5 weeks. My old man goes bawling and yells and comes home, you know, smelling like beer, and he throws his shoes under the table and all that stuff. So there's a dead silence, and we sit down to the meatloaf, the red cabbage, the mashed potatoes, the Ovaltine, the whole bit. And the evening passes otherwise uneventfully, except for a few brief sporadic arguments. You know, typical family life. 3 weeks or so later, it was my job always as I came home from school. I would come home always about 3:30, 3:45 in the afternoon. And it was kind of an exciting thing. I had, you know how kids have little tasks, quote? My task was to bring in the mail. We had this mailbox we got from Sears Roebuck, you know, tacked to the front of the, the house, and it had a cutout of a Dutch windmill on it, which, you know, a little touch of elegance there. Had a cutout. Why it was a Dutch windmill, I don't know, but it had a cutout of a Dutch windmill. It was black, see. I come home, and I open up the mailbox, and there's a couple of lumpy things in there, see, and a lot of, you know, stuff like a flyer from Goldblatt's. And I pull this stuff out, and I bring it in this big lumpy thing, and I pick it into my... It's got my mother's name on it. Well, she opens his letters right away in the kitchen, see? And two wash rags come out. She's got two wash rags. Apparently she has sent... See, and she's not saying anything. You know, she didn't say a word to the old man. She just quietly went out that afternoon, you know, the next day, and sent in the wash rag, apparently. In fact, the later congressional investigation proved this is exactly what happened. And there were certain charges made, which are as yet unfounded, certainly not proved. And so she opens this first letter. It's a lumpy, smudged, thumb-printed letter, see, from somebody in Kentucky. And she opens it up, and out falls a wash rag. Nothing else, just a wash rag. The next letter was a nicely, beautifully typed one, and this was from Lake Forest, Illinois. Typewritten, and out falls a beautifully pressed wash rag, brand spanking new. Well, it hit me right away, you know. I'm a kid. Ma, hey, Ma, you got wash rags in the mail. She says, yes. Well, wait till your father sees this. Well, that night, the old man comes banging in the house. I'm home! You know, this clothes start flying off, see. And she's all excited. He runs into the john, the water flushes and all that stuff, yelling and hollering. He runs out. The first thing he always used to do when he got home, see, was to, he'd go in the john for a couple of minutes, water going, his clothes are flying off. He'd come running out in his BVDs. He'd run into the kitchen, open the refrigerator, and grab a bottle of Blatz. He'd just grab a bottle of Blatz. The first thing he did, automatically grab it. Well, what's happening? How is everything? You know, how's everything? You could always tell he had a good day at the office. If he had a bad day at the office, he'd say nothing. He'd grab two bottles of Blatz, open them up simultaneously, and drink them down at once. And he'd throw in a little gin with it, too. And he would say nothing. Just sit there. You know, bad day at the office. Don't ask him what Mr. Bullard said this afternoon. So he says, wow, how's everything going? My mother turns around from the kitchen sink, and she says, look what I've got. And she holds, one in each hand, a watch rag. He says, yeah, so? Well, don't you see what they are? Yeah, they're wash rags. Well, you know, this is not the kind of thing that gets the average guy excited. See a couple of wash rags. She says, yes. See what they are? He says, yeah, wash rags. She says, well, aren't you curious? No. She says, well, they came in the mail. They came in the what? See, like most arguers, he forgets last week's argument instantly. He doesn't even remember it. He says, they did what? He says, they came in the mail. I says, so? I mean, it's some kind of promo, huh? She says, no. This one came from Lexington, Kentucky. This one came from Lake Forest, Illinois. Oh, yeah. He says, did you send one of them, what? You sent one of them wash rags in from the gold dust box? She says, yes. Oh, for crying out loud. You don't believe in that stuff. She says, well, you mean I've already doubled it. I sent in one wash rag, I got two now, right? The old man sits there. He had never gotten $1 back on any chain letter, and all of a sudden we got two wash rags. And that evening, you know, we're sitting there, and she's all excited. She says, I'm going to tell Mrs. Bruner that if she gets one of those, she ought to send it in. And there's, you know, but she says, look at this, that's a very nice wash rag. She holds it up. Yes, it was. It was the best wash rag we ever had. We got this expensive, see, Lake Forest, if you don't know what Lake Forest is, Lake Forest is the Chicago equivalent of Darien, Connecticut. It's an elegant community. And the ladies who have wash rags up there have maids who use them. you know. And so this beautiful wash rig, she says, "Why, I'll bet I that looks like that came from Carson Peary Scott. I'll bet that came from Marshall Fields. Why, look at that wash rag." The old man says, "Oh, come on, wash rag. I'll bet you bought them. Don't tell me that." The next day, we got 37 wash rags in the mail. I'm swearing, you won't believe this, I'm swearing on a stack of Bibles, 37. Have you ever seen a mailbox stuffed to overflowing? They were laying all around the front door. The mailman had just put this hole, and they had a string around them. There were so many letters that he had them in a package. 37 wash rags, and the old lady is flipping. She's got a stack of wash rags now in the kitchen. And the old man comes running home, and he sees this thing. She says, "Look what I've got." He says, "Wash rags, 30s, look at the wash rags." By now, he's getting sucked in. He says, "Look at it, wow, say wash rags." And he says, "Let me see them wash rags." And so she hands him the wash rags. He's looking. He says, "Look at this blue one, for crying out loud, look at that. Jesus, huh, holy." And there were all kinds. There were wash rags you could see that had washed 5 million faces, and they had holes in them. There were wash rags that were like brand new. There were magnificent ones with flower petals embroidered on them. There were wash rags made out of canvas. I never saw such a collection of wash rags. In fact, ever since this time, I have never looked at a wash rag with the same view. And you know, I would venture that most of you never even pay any attention to wash rags. It's one of those things you accept in your life. But when they begin to invade you, I mean, if you're getting it, it's like, how many people look at end tables? Well, what would happen if you received a shipment of 7,000 end tables? You would begin to be very conscious of end tables. And you would also become a connoisseur of end tables. So there were 37 wash rags, and the old lady is flipping. And of course, about 9 ladies in the neighborhood now are running around, coming over and looking at the wash rags. Within 3 weeks, now this is going to sound to you like fiction, and I will again say that this is exactly what happened. Within 3 weeks, we had received over 12,000 wash rags. Now that sounds like, in fact, what happened after the second week, my mother got very worried, and she was very upset. I came home, and of course, every day now when I'm coming home, the stuff is taken in, because the mailman would ring the bell at this point, and there's 3 guys delivering it, see? They don't just stick it in the box, see? And they'd have this stuff all, you know, when you get a lot of mail, if you've ever gotten a tremendous amount of mail, what the post office does, it doesn't send it to you loose, it ties it in bundles. Did you know that? They do, to keep it, you know, all together, make it easy for themselves. And these guys were flinging bundles full of wash rags into the front room, and my mother was carrying them into the kitchen. We had wash rags piled up next to the cupboard back by the icebox. We had them piled up all the way to the top of the sink. Well, here, at one day alone, we received over 1,800 wash rags in one day. Well, they're all in big lumpy envelopes. Fantastic. She got this call. It was this day that I came home. You know, it was about the second week, and it's obvious she's hit the jackpot in the wash rag world. So, she got a call from the post office department. And now my mother, her most important call usually came from the PTA when they wanted her to bring her specialty, a pineapple upside down cake, to the PTA penny supper. That would be an official mother call. Can you imagine how she felt getting a call from the head of the post department of the post office, who said, he told her that what she was up to, he asked her what this was, you know, they get this fantastic thing. She said, "I'm getting wash rags." And he said, "Well, you know, the chain letters are illegal." You know, they were and are. And she said, "Well, I just sent in a wash rag." He said, "Well, we just want to inform you that you have broken a federal statute and that we want to make sure that there's not any of this carried on any further." Yes. And she didn't say anything about it. Didn't say a word, see, but she was acting kind of funny. And the old man, every day he got looking forward to the wash rag scene, see. Every day he said, "Where's the, how many wash rags you get? Hey, where's the wash rags?" And he's calling up Heine Zudok. "Hey, Zudok, we got 722 today." "Yeah, 720. You ought to see the one with lace on it. Ah, there's one that's got a naked girl on it." "Yeah, well, hey, Zudok, listen, I'll tell you. You know, you ever get any of them chandlers with the dollars? Well, look, the next time you get one, send it to me, right? I'll tell you, these things are starting to work." "Yeah." "Oh, man, listen, wait, tomorrow I'll give you a call at 5 o'clock, let you know what we got tomorrow." Well, he's all excited, the wash rags. Well, we have now reached the point we've got over 12,000 wash rags. Now, this, you know, I don't know whether you've ever seen 12,000 assorted wash rags, loose, in one house. My mother starts to put them on the landing. She was putting them on the landing down, going down to the basement. There's no place to put them. And she was packing them in a great big laundry bag, you know, these big net laundry bags. She says, you know, I have no place to put wash rags. So she sticks all of them on. And then finally, they begin to peter off. Which, of course, you know, very much disappointed the old man. He figured, you know, we were in the wash rag business now permanently. Well, we've received 12,000 some odd wash rags. Tremendous collection of wash rags. And they're now packed down in the basement. My mother's got three cupboards full of them up at the top. She's got them in the front bedroom. She's got a pile of them under the bed. She's got them in bundles. And here they are. And finally, the old man says, let's see what we're going to do with the wash rags. Great pile of wash rags. Well, the Hammond Times, this is what really bugged the old man. Just about the time they started to peter off, somebody heard about it in the local newspaper. And one evening, we're sitting around. You know, the old man, he's the big shot. You know, he's the big famous bowler and all that stuff. The phone rings. He picks up the phone and says, hello? Yes? What? Who? Well, yeah, she's here. He picks up and says, the paper wants to talk to you. My mother says, what? Yeah, the Hammond Times, they want to talk to you. She says, me? Have you ever been called up by a paper? She says, what do they want? She says, it's a reporter. I don't know what they want. It's a reporter. You could see envy. Envy in the old man. And she says, hello? Well, yes. Well, we have 12,000. A little, maybe more. Well, I just sent in a wash rag. Oh? Well, yes, he can come over. Oh, no, just give me half an hour notice so I can fix my hair. Yes. All right. Thank you. They're sending out a reporter and two photographers. And the old man's just sitting there. Never in his life had he got his name in a paper. I mean, you know, how many of you, wouldn't you like to have your picture in the paper, you know? Hits jackpot. Famous citizen strikes it rich. And so the next afternoon, my mother's got her flower dress on. She's got her hair all done up. She's wearing her paisley shawl. And she's standing proudly next to her pile of 12,000 wash rags. And she's standing in front of them, and they, you know how they have these corny, you've seen these corny photographs they always have. And so she says, well, what do I do? And the guy says, well, let's give it a little human interest. He says, why don't we have one of the kids, you're washing his face with the wash rag. And so instantly they say, oh, I'm going to get my picture in the paper. No, he says, how about the little one? How about that one? And it's my kid brother who's, you know, hiding under the day bed, he's watching out. And so, sure enough, they dragged my kid brother out. My kid brother ran. She says, now, come on, stop crying. The men are just going to take your picture. So he stands real stiff. So she takes the wash rag, and she puts it on his face, and boop, the lights go off. Boop, boop, about three lights. And these guys cut out quick. They're real fast. So they're gone. There we were in the silence of our house. Me and my kid brother, my old lady, 12,000 wash rags, and a lot of torn up envelopes. And that night, the paper comes out, front page. It said, local resident hits jackpot in wash rag chain letter. She sent in a single wash rag and in less than 3 weeks received 12,942 wash rags by return mail. The wash rags range all the way from Yakima, Washington to Yucapuca, Mexico, received three wash rags from Greenland, one wash rag from the Royal Family of Belgium, and she has over 12,000 wash rags from the state of Indiana alone. Tremendous collection. Says she has probably got the greatest collection of wash rags now in our state. She is a distinguished member of our state's population. You know that that picture still hangs in my mother's home? She was so proud of her picture. All the ladies all around town, you know, are calling her up. And we have this picture now, and they sent us a glossy, in case you're curious. You know, newspapers always do. They sent her an 8x10 glossy, and my mother has it matted, and she's got it framed, and that is her major, the major trophy of her life. The time she caught the white whale. 12,000 wash rags. Well, of course, there's an aftermath. I don't know whether you've ever tried to use 12,000 wash rags or get rid of 12,000 wash rags, particularly since many of them were used, and many of them very well used. You can see little the remains of palm olive soap on a lot of them and stuff. You know, who knows whose faces these have washed. I mean, it was a wild scene. So we had these wash rags, and every once in a while, now at this time, see, this is why I say you never know. The only point I made telling you this story, which is, of course, a theater of the absurd story, the only reason I'm telling you this story is that do not put down things too heavily. You never know. And so to this day, when I see my mother, almost invariably, because it's always in the back of my mind, say, I'll go into, she's got this house and all. I'll go into the bathroom. There's a wash rag. There's towels, wash rags. See, and I wash myself. And I come out. I say, "Hey, Ma, is this one of your wash rags?" She says, "Yeah. What? What do you mean?" I said, "Well, one of your wash rags." She says, "Yes, that's one of my wash rags." To this day, she has not even started to use even some of the best wash rags. And she has got the whole collection. It's still down in the basement, and when they wear out, she throws them out. She says, "You never know when you might need a wash rag."
Okay, Gene.
So, you can't put it down, you never know when you might hit the jackpot, the total jackpot. I got a note. I just have to show you this, all right. I got a note from a guy who said, "What's your favorite underground newspaper or magazine?" And I thought about that, see? And he expected me to say something, like The Realist or Rat or The Berkeley Rhubarb or something like that. And it hit me that none of these are underground. These aren't underground. I mean, come on. Anything you can buy on a newsstand at 42nd Street and Times Square ain't underground. If it is, it ain't very far underground, I'll tell you that. It's not underground, what is a true underground paper? Well, a true underground paper is one you ain't heard of. Underground is underground. A genuine underground. We're so romantic. The Americans are the most romantic, sentimental people in the world, really. And that we tend to romanticize most of all ourselves. And so if you're turning out this little rag, and it's got 67,922 subscribers and is sold on every newsstand on every campus in the country, it's kind of romantic to think that you're underground. Because the concept of underground is a romantic concept. And especially in the 20th century, we always think of the French Marquis, underground fighting against the Nazis and all that. Well, the one thing about the underground is that they were underground. Nobody who was an underground in any real underground, you'd never know who he is. He doesn't walk around with a button that says underground. And most of the underground people, or who think they are in the romantic concept, make a great issue of identifying themselves. So they wear their hair down at their waist, they have buttons, they have, flags, they hold up things, symbols, and they think they're underground, which, of course, is a romantic idea. Well, my favorite underground paper, now, I'm not, I'm truly underground. One of my favorite magazines is truly underground. Underground in the sense of the hard day. I would say not more than one person out of quite possibly, 100,000 has ever heard of it. You can't say that about the Village Voice, the Realist, Rat, all the rest of them, What do you think it is? Well, the point is you wouldn't know. Have any of you ever heard of Lithopinion? Lithopinion, that's right. Everybody says, what? That's underground. It is the magazine. The magazine of Local One, Amalgamated Lithographers of America. How's that for underground, man? And it is one of the most beautiful magazines in the world, bar none. Now, if you want to talk about a favorite underground mag, look at this thing. What a wild-looking magazine. Look at the stuff in it. Look at this. Let me see. Look at this. And they have some of the greatest wild articles and magnificent reproduction that I've ever seen any place in the world. And I'm talking about a lot of the pieces are underground. Look at this. Look at the wild stuff in this thing. Look at this. Man, that's a magazine. I mean, it's a magazine in the sense that it's truly underground. Nobody knows about it. But at the same time, it's my favorite. Now, I'll just lay it out at that. They have a piece, The New Breed of Machine, the gorgeously ugly, fantastically absurd, ultimately awesome and ridiculous automobiles. And they have a piece on have you seen the new Rococo field of custom car building, where you build an entire car in the form of a World War I German helmet, and it's drivable and it's magnificently contrived? Here's one that's based on the state carriage of George III's Royal State Coach. Look at that one, friend. That's an automobile. Here's one. Look at this magnificent rickshaw. There's one based on a rickshaw, and it's so beautiful and so rococo that it's obscene. And that's the whole point of it. It's a new kind of ugliness, and it's beautifully reproduced. Now, when you're talking about the underground stuff, to me, underground is underground, you know? If it's underground, it's underground. If it's above ground, it's above ground. Now, underground is generally, in our time, related to what is said. So if you're anti-establishment, you tend to think of yourself as underground, and yet I haven't heard many people who are pro-establishment recently. You ever heard, have you, Art, heard many pro-establishment people recently?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have, Gene. Oh, yes.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't heard the establishment recently. I mean, you know, who is the establishment? You know, I'd like to have a guy go, my name is Charles W. Smathers, and I'm from the establishment. I'd like to meet this guy. Just want, you know, I'd like to talk to him. Well, you know, how are things going up there on the pinnacle? How does it look when you're viewing the world from Parnassus, looking down on we, the striving, struggling, moiling masses? And by the way, I've never seen anybody who considers himself part of the masses either.
And that was Gene Shepherd for this evening. Stay tuned now for the jazz interlude.
Hey, bum, can't you keep your mouth shut? Well, I just wanted to put my work... Take it. Take that, too. Get out of here. Next time, keep your jazz to yourself. Well, I just want to...